Podcast. Today we have a sermon from Pastor Russell Evans, which I know will bless and encourage you. But before we jump into it, check out some brand new music from Planet Shakers.
Come on, let's celebrate! It's Christmas!
Brand new from Planet Shakers. It's Christmas live, featuring all your favorite carols.
This year's a weird year to me. It's a weird year to you. And like, this is what this year feels like. Stop. Oh, we take 2 steps. Whoa, 10 steps back. But this year, if you want to ever learn how to form lifestyles or form patterns of life through systematically, brilliantly done, by the way, in how it's been done, is words. I want to speak to you on words form your worlds. So what we speak actually forms what the future will look like. I remember the Bible puts it this way, just to back that up with the Bible, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So your tongue has the ability to bring life or bring death. There's sometimes this year, my flesh has got bigger than my spirit and I might have got frustrated with things. And there's other times I've had faith in it. And, you know, because we're human, we go through different things. But my challenge to us in the coming out of this season is, what are we forming for our future with what we're saying? You know, this year's crazy because our feeding program's exploded. Other things have exploded, but other things haven't. And a year of divine acceleration, I was like, God, where's this divine acceleration that we're believing for? And I was reading somebody's blog and they made a statement to me. They made a statement that went, oh yes, that's so true. Normal acceleration or normal momentum happens through man's endeavors. But divine acceleration comes out of loss that brings an acceleration that only God can get the glory for because man can't take the credit for. And I believe that what God's going to do in this city in Melbourne, we work with people and we do what we do, but God will get the glory for what He's going to do, divine acceleration. You know, our job is to come into agreement with Him and declare what He wants to do and then act on what He wants us to do, but it's His job. There's this really cool story in the Bible. This girl, her name's Ruth. In fact, there's a whole chapter about her, a whole book about her, sorry. And Ruth is a Moabite woman. She's not a Jew, she's a Moabite. And there's this family, the mother is Naomi, and they're living in Israel and there's a drought, so they move to Moab. And as in Moab, they're there and tragic circumstances, the husband dies. And so the boys end up getting married to two Moabite women. They're good women. But the situation gets worse. The boys die. So now there is Naomi, the mother-in-law, with two daughter-in-laws, with no husband, no sons, no future. So Naomi hears about that the drought is over in Israel, so she decides to go back to where her relatives are. So she turns to her daughter-in-laws and say, you're amazing, but you don't need to come with me because you've already been so great. Go and find yourself a husband for your future. And there's one of the daughter-in-laws called Oprah. She went back and she started her own TV show and she became famous in Chicago and stuff like that. But the other one, Ruth. Some of you looking at me going, what? Oprah's in the Bible. You might not say it that way, but anyway. So Naomi comes, is there and says, Ruth, go on, go back. I'm going this way. And there's this statement that Ruth makes that forms her words, formed her world. She says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. So she's making a statement. At the time of this statement, she's got nothing. She's got no one other than Naomi. So she follows Naomi, and Naomi has a cousin, a relative that's rich. His name's Boaz. And he's a farmer, he has these fields. And they have nothing. So you know what Naomi tells Ruth to do? She says, go into the field and pick up after them, the leftovers. She was in a situation that only the way to live was get somebody's leftovers. And so she's picking up these leftovers and she comes home and Naomi's like, wow, that's just crazy. That's, wow, look at. And she goes back the next day and Boaz, the boss man, turns up in his Bentley. He's got gold chains. He's like, yo, what's up, right? He's got his bass system in his car, boom, boom. We just got a better bass system in church. By the way, our production is amazing. Our production team do an amazing job. This vibe is way better than any nightclub. A nightclub, you'd be... and does nothing. Here, you encounter God and change the city. Anyway, someone says, I'm going to witness in a nightclub. You are not. You're just going to... Well, yeah, okay. Hallelujah. I'm naughty. And so Boaz sees Ruth and he's like, she's so fine, she's blown my mind. Well, it doesn't quite say it like that, but that's my interpretation. He's attracted to her, in other words. So he calls his workers over and says, see that girl over there? Yeah. Deliberately leave her extra. Deliberately. And they go, oh, okay, boss, you're the boss. And there's Ruth and she's behind them and whoops, awesome. It's for you. They're dropping stuff everywhere and she's like, whoa. And she comes on home and she's like, this is amazing. It's like the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Starts with 5 loaves and 2 fish and brings home 12 baskets. Because when the Messiah, when Jesus comes into the situation, what you think is lack becomes the platform for your abundance. All right? So, they're at home and Naomi and Ruth, and Naomi goes, I think he likes you. You reckon? Yeah. Here's my Chanel number 5. Go up to him and lie at his feet. They did weird things in those days. I don't go and lie at his feet. Well, okay. He's watching TV. Wakes up. What are you doing here? Scared the heck out of me. Imagine that. You're Boaz. And you're like, ah! Oh wow. Hi. How are you? I've been watching you. Don't flutter those eyelashes like that. They're real ones, I can tell. They're real. They're so very sorry.
So long story short,
he goes and he has to ask for a hand because another relative gets first choice at the property. And they said, yeah, I'm going to take that. And then he goes, yeah, but you understand there is this widow that you have to bring into your family. Oh, no, you can have it. Watch this. I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Let me read what it says again. I will go where you go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Watch this. She is a Moabite who has nothing. Nada, 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 zero. All she has is a relationship that she declares, I will go where you go. She declares, your people will be my people. She declares, your God will be my God. Watch. Who married her? Naomi's people. So Boaz marries Ruth. They get married and they produce children. Watch this. You know, ancestry.com and they taste your ancestry and all that. Well, you can read the Bible and it will help if you were in this line. And so Boaz married Ruth, who produced da 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 da. And then, and Mary produced Jesus. So Jesus comes out of the line or the ancestry of Ruth. Drop the mic. Your God will be my God. She, out of her lineage, gives birth to the Son of God. God incarnate flesh. God comes from her lineage. When she says, I will go wherever you go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Every one of those things came about. Her words formed her worlds. Crazy, right? You know, words were important in the element of God's work of creation. He had a plan. The Bible says even before the foundations of the earth, he had a plan. But this plan had been set in place, but God had to speak the words before they became a visible reality. And God said, let there be light. Wow. Every time we speak about what God wants to do in a city, we are forming what the city can become. So every time Brendan Noddle and his wife Sandra talk about the hurting, the broken, and what they can become and what we can do, what they're doing is their words are forming worlds that are shifting lifestyles. Wow, it's pretty amazing. Watch this. As such, therefore, God's words contain creativity. Genesis 1 says that you and I are created in the image of God. So if we're created in the image of God, in our DNA, he's put creativity that is released through speech. Our words carry creative power. Of course, our words are not as perfect as God's are, but they do contain a certain amount of creative power. When we speak negatively, negative elements are manifest and grow. But if you become empowered by God and use a speech that is positive, creative, and productive, then there'll be positive, creative power and naturally become manifest in our lives. And here is the challenge. Because here's the challenge. People think this. They think this. They think, oh, you're just positive. Or, it's that positive confession stuff. Oh, no. And you're not living in reality. No, we understand the facts. So we don't ignore facts. There are needs. There are challenges. There is sickness. There is brokenness. we understand the facts, but we speak truth to the facts. There's poverty, we speak reaching out and seeing poverty dealt with. We're speaking truth to facts. Jesus, bringing Jesus's word to a fact. When Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to set the prisoners released." Think about this. Not one person had been set free. Not one person, not captive, had been released. Not one person had been healed. When Jesus said it in the temple, as He came down from the mountain after He'd been fasting and praying for 40 days, and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," He was declaring what He was about to do and become. We order change through our languages. We've seen this happen this year. The language, what we've been told, and you know, there's so many good things to protect people, so I'm cool with that. But what I'm giving you a picture of what language has done. It's changed the way people live. It's formed a world through language. So my challenge to us coming into 2021, what language are you releasing in your life? Do you know words can hurt people as well as heal people? So that's why it's imperative for us to understand the importance of words, because words come back like a boomerang. Words tend to exert an equal amount of influence on both their speakers and their hearers, as well as anyone who else be spoken about. So our words have power not only to influence and help people or to pull people down, but as we're speaking, it's influencing us. Did you know the Bible talks about Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God so you may be able to stand? Every bit of the armor, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, the shoes of peace, right? All those weapons, all those armor are defensive. They protect you against the fiery darts of the enemy. They stop the enemy penetrating your heart. They're defensive. The only offensive weapon in the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So how you change things out there is you use the Word of God that He has given you to declare and to release heaven on earth through our lives. And so, see, when words are powerful, but words anointed by God are more powerful. And the problem with our tongue is, the Bible says in James 3:8, no one can tame the tongue. It's really evil, full of deadly poison. So he's saying that we just got to be careful what we say. We got to start declaring what we see this city can be, what our friends can have, what we can, you know, there's always going to be problems. We see the facts, we deal with the facts, but then we speak the truth and then we act on the truth. But if, see, your words are like a rudder. So if I'm speaking positively about the promises of God and what God could do, guess what? As I begin to speak about that, it's a rudder that directs me to that thing. If I speak negatively about all the situations and just point the facts out and say it's hopeless and it's useless, guess what? My life is going down that way. You know, people who lose the desire to live lose because they lose hope. Why? Because they can only see hopelessness. That's why we need to come and bring hope. The Bible says, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." There was a lady in my where I used to work in my old church. She was the kids pastor. The problem with her was nothing other than she felt shame. And the reason she felt shame, because she had three children in their teenage years and they're all away from God, every one of them. So every Sunday she would teach kids about God and teach them about the ways of God. And at the same time, her son was at a nightclub getting high, sleeping around. Other son was totally lost in his own world, didn't care about God. And the daughter had been through a marriage that had broken down and she was lost. And so here she is, and the enemy comes, and every day she'd get up and prepare. And this is what the enemy would go, "You're a hypocrite. You're useless. Shame on you. How dare you teach other people about God, their children, and you can't even get your own children to church." So she decided that she was going to speak what God says. And she got scripture. See, if you don't have scripture, how are you going to have an offensive weapon? You've got to know what the Bible says. And she got this one scripture. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you know what she did? She went into son number one. And when he was out partying, clubbing, she would go into his underwear, Superman, and go, "My son is going to be a man of God. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." She'd go and pray for his shoes. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." She'd go into his cupboards and go, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And she'd pray. Go into son number two, go into daughter number one. Son number one got signed with the Brisbane Bears. He's a good footballer. He was on his way to a nightclub. He had just got a little high, and he's sitting in the driver's seat of a car, and they're driving, and in a moment he goes from being high to totally normal. In a moment, just bam, and the presence of God comes into his car, and he turns to his driver and says, "Pull over." And the driver goes, "What do you mean pull over?" "Pull over. Why do I need to pull over?" "You need to pull over now." He pulls over. He gets out of the car on the side of the freeway. He gets on his knees, lifts his hands to heaven and says, "God, I give you my life. I need to get right with you. I need to give you my heart. Come into my life." And in that moment, he becomes a Christian. That young man, I'll tell you about. Number two son, driving a car, gets hit. He's in hospital. He's okay. Just observed overnight. He's there. His mum comes in. "Mum, I've got to get right with God. Could you lead me in the sinner's prayer?" And she leads him to Christ. Daughter, a month later, "I need to get right with Jesus." Son number one is now a pastor. He runs an organization called Youth Alive. But if this lady had spoken, "Well, my kids will never be anything. They'll never serve God. They'll never do anything." She wouldn't appoint it. She wouldn't allow for God to move in the way that he wanted to move. Your words form your worlds. So the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that what you face. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. The Bible says you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. The Bible says you're a son and you're a daughter of the living God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says if God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And so you've got to start speaking about your future. Even if the facts say one thing, you recognize the fact, but you keep intimate with the truth. Watch this. Abraham was told that he'd have a son. Dr. Clayton, how many years did they try? 25, I think it was. Scott just got his master's degree in theology. You don't know. You do know? 50, let's say 50. Over 50, let's just say 50. 50. So for 50 years, he tried to have a son. So 50 times 12 is what? 600. Right? 50 times 12. So every time it came for that time of the month, there was a disappointment because the fact said no child. 591 times they got disappointed with facts. But he kept being intimate with the promise that God had given him. Why? Because he had a word that formed his world. What's forming your world? What's forming my world is lack, is what we hear, how tough things are going to be, or is that forming our worlds, or are we declaring what God wants to do in young people, what God wants to do in university students, what he wants to do in young adults, what he wants to do in families, what he wants to do with the poor, what he wants to do with the business people, what he wants to do in this city. So come on, it's time to speak life in our life. Yeah. Now, we used to have this thing that we would do as what we call Planet Shakers Declaration, which was a consolidation of scripture, what God wanted to do in our lives. We're going to do that, then I'm going to do one more thing, and then we're going to invite people to get right with Jesus. But this is a declaration of what we want to see happen through our lives in a city. So, why am I declaring this, by the way? I'm favored and blessed because it's better to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. So I'm a giver. I'm favored because God lives in me. Favor isn't stuff. Favor is Jesus. He is favor. He is favor. Right? Come on, here we go. One, two, three. I declare that I'm favored and blessed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I am called to be fruitful in every area of my life. Because of the life of Christ within me, I will bring life wherever I go. Everywhere my foot treads is my inheritance. I therefore call in divine acceleration for my life. I call in health, freedom, and provision. I come into agreement with the word of God over my life that says, I'm an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of me. Therefore, I have the power to overcome all obstacles. Speak to every mountain and see it removed, and to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven through me. I am a person of breakthrough. I am a planet shaker because Jesus lives in me and he is the ultimate planet shaker. Yeah! Yeah! Watch this. Watch this. This is how the kingdom of God works. God puts on our heart, Christmas time, do a gift-giving service. What are we wanting to do? We're wanting to bring life to a city, life to individuals, life to people. Not so big. I'm not ready yet. At the same time, there's a couple that work for the Salvation Army. They dedicate their life to bring life to a city. So God in heaven knows all this has happened. We don't know each other. We don't know. God in heaven knows this happened. Then, so we start doing these gift-giving services. And there possibly, and I'm sure this would have happened, it's anecdotal, but I'm sure it would happen. There's a mother crying to God, I don't have anything for my kid. I want something for my kid. Something attracts her to the Salvation Army. And they come in looking for hope. And there is people who you have never met before. And they say, oh, you got a little girl. I've got a gift just for you. It's so that you can have a great Christmas. You may never meet that person, but God in his. Hears the cry of a mother. Hears a cry of two people wanting to serve the city. Hears a cry of a planet shaker in Adelaide. And he orchestrates it together. And he says, okay, they've spoken and they've declared what they want to see happen. Now I'm going to activate and I'm going to release a future that a little girl can remember. We were missing something at Christmas, but somebody cared. Somebody loved. That works. We're going to... God is the... He's the conductor. We just got to listen to His tune and sing it.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.